So this is Lafayette, Louisiana.
So from Dublin, Ireland to Lafayette, Louisiana, I've struck gold. I'm here. How many people here with a show of hands have heard about working the steps and Dr. Bob in a short period of time, 4 to 5 hours? Yeah? Yeah, good. How many people have actually worked the steps in one day? One day. You know, what I want to do is I want to show you here today how Dr. Bob used to bring people through the steps. It's very, very, very important. Because when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, February 1st, 1995, unlike you all, I was not on a winning streak. And what happened was, in my profession, alcohol testing came in. I'm a retired airline captain for one of the airlines, and I won't tell you the name because I slipped once and the stock market just crashed when I did that with the airline. So, but when alcohol testing came in 95, January 1st, I didn't know what to do. Drug testing came in 87, piece of cake, I quit. Alcohol testing came in 95, and my then wife looked at me and she says, "Now you're hosed." And she was exactly right. I didn't know what to do. So I'm trying to figure out my schedule. For January, and I figured it out. I figured out how I was going to do it, because now it wasn't 8 hours, as we used to say, from bottle to throttle. That was easy. It was .0123 on a breathalyzer. I've had hangovers on the third day that were .0123. So I was off till January 3rd. On January 4th, I was about ready to hop on an airplane and I was based out of Washington, D.C., and I was going to go fly, and I said, I need something to steady my nerves. And so I had one drink, right? What happened? I'm going to show you today what happened. A medical doctor shows me that I have an allergy to alcohol. See, I thought I was just a loser and I was weak. But we actually have an allergy, and he showed me the process of which I will show you today. And I want everyone to take notes on this. Because when you show it to the newcomer, it's going to make sense. It's like, dink, it makes sense. And it made it virtually impossible for me to stop. And February 1st, at 3:25 in the afternoon, I woke up. I still don't remember January 1995 to this day. Now, I had a wife, and she's a flight attendant, imagine that, and two beautiful little kids. At that time, they were 4 and 3. They're 19 and 18 today. So they don't remember their father like he was. And there was a letter at the side of the bed. And it says, "You turned out just to be like your father." You see, my father drank himself to death at the age of 54. Ugly death. My brother died from alcohol and drug overdose at the age of 21. And then there was me. And so I remember when I read that letter, I started going into convulsions. And being the melodramatic person I am, I said, "God, why have you forsaken me?" You know. And this peace came over my body like it never came over before. And I raised up from the bed, and I don't mean I levitated. I sat up, and this voice came into my head, and it says, "It's over." Three times, "It's over. It's over." Now, I don't say that to normal, non-alcoholic people. I don't like to call them normal because they're more screwed up than we are. But I like to tell you that because I believe in the spiritual awakening. But I was atheist. So I thought I was just having a bad case of gas. Okay, whatever. And I called up this telephone number, and it was the employee assistance program for the airline I worked with. And I was like, I didn't even know we had one. And I hung up, called back, hung up, called back. Finally, the guy says, listen, this is a secured line. Relax. Talk to me. And I said, I think I got a drinking problem. I don't remember January 1995. You think I got a drinking problem? Bottles everywhere, feces, blood. I thought I killed somebody, but it was me throwing up blood. In the the airline industry, it's almost like the CIA. Once you admit that, they cut you out. I mean, guys were in Jacksonville, Florida within hours, and he said to me this. This captain said, listen, you may never fly an airplane again if you admit this. I just want you to know that. And that's who I was. That's all I've done. That was me. That's who I identified myself as. And so I said, get out of the office. I didn't want to do it, you know. And it was a rainy day in February. Guy, I remember this like it was yesterday. And I knew I was going to die like my father. And so as they were leaving, Captain Bill Appleby turned around. He looked at me and he says, you know, you don't have to live life like this anymore. And I couldn't imagine not abusing my wife or my children or the flight attendants or anybody I touched. I couldn't imagine. And he says, just for today, you don't have to. And I didn't understand that. So I said, okay, let's go do the deal. And I did. I went up. They put the airline pilots in South Miami Hospital, which is really nice in the wintertime. You're in South Miami Hospital. And there was this little guy, I'll never forget him, Dr. Wolfson. He had his feet up on the table, and I come walking in with Mr. Attitude, right? Don't you have any idea who I think I am? And I'm with my then wife, and he looked at me, he goes, you're an angry little man. And I looked at him and I said, fuck you. And I got up and I started walking to the door. And he said, if you touch that doorknob, I'll make sure you never fly a kite. Step one. That guy had me right here. So they took my wife away. It was a 28-day program. They loved me so much, they kept me in for 72. And I went in, and so they took me to a room, and this big guy comes in. Big. Makes you look tiny. This guy was big. And he says, get to your knees. I'm like, hey, man. I don't know what kind of hospital this is. I ain't into that. Not that I have a problem with those who are, I'm not. And he says, you are an idiot. Get to your knees and say a prayer. I'm like, well, hold on. Whoa. Let's do this. Let's just talk a little bit. He says, either pray or get out. I said, I can't do that. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in anything. And he says, really? Good. But pack your bags. And I'm like, yes. Yes, that was the secret password. I don't believe in God. And I'm packing my bags, and I'm folding them. I'm putting my books together, and he brings me to the elevator. He says, get out. And I'm like, whoa. Why is everybody trying to throw me out of this place? If I don't graduate from here, I'll never fly an airplane again. Graduate from a rehab. What? I thought I was going to get a diploma, a little cap and gown. And he says, get to your knees. In the hallway, in front of everybody. So I did. In the first prayer said something like, you know, thank you, God, you son of a effing mother. And I spewed. He goes, good. That's a start. Go back to your room. And that's when they started breaking me down. 72 days later, I'm like, you can't make me get out of here. And I'm holding onto the doorknob, and they're pulling like, get out. And I went back to Amelia Island, Fernandina Beach, and that's when everything started. So I was doing the not drinking, going to meetings. And I felt like just garbage. I mean, my then wife said, I'd rather you drink. I felt like I was going to 4 meetings a day. They were kidnapping me to rehabs. And I felt like garbage because I was doing just step one. I had this idea. So I was coming up on 90 days. See, in Florida, we get these little trinkets, these little gifts if you stay sober, whatever. So we get these little gifts, these chips, and it was a green one. And I said, if I get that green chip, then I'm going to go to Five Point Liquors. Five Point Liquors in Florida, we have a liquor store that you have a drive-thru. So if you're too drunk to get out of your car, you drive through. It's awesome. The whole left side of my car is wiped out because I'd be like, hey, give me a gallon of pop-off vodka, right? And so I got my chip, and I'm running out the door. And I'm all excited. I'm going to get drunk. Oh, I've missed you so much. Right? I didn't want to be an airline pilot and work 11 days a month and make all that money anyway. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm walking out the door, and this guy from Hoboken, New Jersey, steps in front of me, my first sponsor, Greg H., and he says, listen. He says, you're acting a little more weird than usual. He says, so if you're about ready to go out, do not tell anybody that AA failed you because you've never worked a program of recovery. Well, I took offense to that, and I was like, who the F are you? I'm going to 4 meetings a day. I'm jobless. I spew in, you know what I mean? And he says, but I'll tell you what. I know you're not working, so come over to my house on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8 o'clock. If you're late, don't knock on the door. You lie to me once, you're out. And he says, bring this book. And he gave me this book. It's still the same book. I got the cover, though. He says, bring that book. And that's when it all started for me. That's when recovery started for me. I didn't believe in God. We got to the second step. I was not willing to go to sanity. Got to the third step. I was not willing to turn my will and my life over to God. He says, are you willing to turn your life and move forward with the rest of the steps? He kept moving me forward and moving me forward. I did the fourth step. I did the fifth step. On the fourth step, I held out the thing. Folks, ladies, gentlemen, we all have a thing that we're not going to tell. The thing. And I told him. But when I finished that ninth step, which is a story inside itself, and I'll tell you about it, it was all over. My whole life changed. The alcoholisms for me were lifted. I no longer had the craving or the obsession. It was all done. It was over. I was equal with the universe. And I'm celebrating 15 years, February 1st. I normally don't tell that story, but since I just got thrown on stage an hour early, because I was supposed to be at Starbucks now, what I wanted to do was just tell you my little story. So what I did is I just identified in with you. You heard a little bit about my drinking. You heard a lot about my alcoholism. Did you notice that? And I was able to get the point across to you that I was totally a low-bottom drunk, right? But for people like me, and especially in my profession, we have this, it can't be me. I couldn't do this. I couldn't have achieved this. And we stay out there way too long until death, okay? So I wanted to do that. What we're going to do today. Does everybody have a big book with them? It's a big book study. Study, big book, pen, highlighter, maybe? Everybody have a pen and a highlighter? No pen? No pen. Can we get pens and highlighters over here? Pencils. We have pencils here.
I got some big books in my
throat. No, here. You got a pen? Okay, also, if you want, just pass this around. What we're going to do is we're going to go through this in one day. We're going to highlight. We're going to write. I'm going to give you facts. I'm going to give you figures. And it's going to blow your mind. Please do not judge the messenger. Some of you may be like, who is this arrogant little SOB? It's because I remind you of me, probably. Whenever I don't like somebody, it's something that it's me that I don't like. So, but listen to the message. The message is powerful. It's out of the book. It's full of facts. That's it. That's all I do. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm not going to tell you how I feel. I'm going to tell you my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous, just like the first 100 used to do, and it was actually 72, but we'll get into that later, okay? So listen to the message. Get ready to write. I've come up with a package over the years, and you all may have a package. Sir, may I steal your package? If I get off the stage, you get there. You don't want that. We got a package here. Does everybody have a package? Okay, good. We all got a package. This package is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous right out of the big book. It gives you paragraphs and pages, okay? It gives you every form that you need to know. All right? And it also has the infamous 10-step form or 11-step form in the back that I do every night, 15 years later. People are like, get a life. I got a great life. Okay? I'll show you how I pray and meditate with my wife. If you have a significant other, I would highly suggest that. It changes your relationship. She is not one of us. I've never showed her the handshake. She's an Al-Anon black belt. She's a wonderful little Roman, Italian, Guinea. And I used to be skinny, so she cooks very well. What I want you all to do is I want you all to open up to the front page. Now, as we're going through the Roman numeral pages, if you have a fourth edition, it's going to get a little confusing, but I think I wrote down the fourth edition numbers. But I want you to open up to the cover page where it says Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? It says the story of how many thousands of men and women, look at that word. What's that word say? And the word? Recovered. Recovered, past tense. It says one time in this book, recovering. It's used in a third person, and it's used in one of the stories. It's always about recovered. It's over with. It's done. We're completed. Let's make one thing perfectly clear here, folks. Perfectly clear. Are we ready to perfectly clear this? We have cured, which we are not. We have recovered. I'm an aerospace engineer by education, so please correct my spelling if you wish. You don't harm me. All right? Up here, I want you to write symptoms and disease. Under recovered, you write symptoms. Symptoms and disease, right? You have cured and you have recovered. Let's look at the difference here. This is what I do. Hi, my name's Doug. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a recovered alcoholic. It changes meetings. The meetings become about me and the word I said recovered. It's not like we're trying to hide it. It's on the front page of our book. Okay? But let's look at what the difference is. My mother, God rest her soul, had breast cancer. Okay? She had the symptoms and she had the disease. Correct? After 5 years, the symptoms went away and the disease went away. She was cured. Are we clear on that? She was cured. Now, she ended up dying of lung cancer because she smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. But the breast cancer was cured. When you're recovered, the disease is there. But when you work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you're sponsoring others, you're praying and meditating, the symptoms are gone. For me, I'm recovered. But what happens if I add alcohol? The disease kicks in, and I don't want anyone to raise their hand. I've come in here once. And I believe it's because I follow this book by the letter of the law. I don't know what it's like to relapse. I've heard what it's like. I hear it is excruciating, humiliating. It is, I feel. But those people who relapse, you will be a better sponsor than I ever, ever could be. Because I don't understand. I can't go up to a relapser and say, I understand where you're coming from. I don't. You do. You do. So I say to them, did you work the steps out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous? Did you sponsor people out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous? Did you go to meetings? You know what it is? No, no, yes. No, no, yes. No, no, yes. Always yes on the meetings. And then I circle all the meetings and I said, I thought meeting makers make it. And then they see over 10 years, that's a fallacy. Meeting makers do not make it, folks. In 1935 to 38, they had one meeting a week on a Friday. One. Meeting makers make it. What are you doing from, Sunday to Friday? You want nothing. I'm not drinking tonight. God, have a drink.
Here you go. How many? I got 30 years sobriety. Oh, my God, you are a stud. I wouldn't want 1 minute of your sobriety, right? And let's put it up front. Pink cloud, let's stop diminishing the pink cloud. It's a God consciousness. Enjoy it. I've had it for 15 years. It's awesome. It's beautiful. You can have it forever. So long as. This book always says so long as, contingent on, so long as. Okay? We are recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. We're not cured. Recovered. The disease is still with us. Are we clear on that? I wanted to get that very clear. Clear. That's awesome. Who said that? All right. I want to show you something. I'm going to keep that up. I'm going to keep the important stuff up. Who's that saint? Forever. We never talk about that in the rooms. Probably because we got an 8 to 13% sobriety rate. But the good news is no one's worked the program. No one is teaching the program anymore. We're all just doing this meeting thing. My name's Doug, and, you know, my wife today told me I was a loser, and oh, my God. Talk to your sponsor, okay? We have recovery, the 12 steps. We have the unity, the meetings. We have the service to AA. If I work the 12 steps on a daily basis, and I'm going to show you specifically how to do that. I used to love these guys. They'd be like, oh, I worked the steps daily in my life. I'd run up. I'm like, really? How do you do it? Well, I just don't think. What? And what do you mean? Well, just meeting makers. And they gave me all these analogies. And I'm like, oh, so he really doesn't know how it's done. I'm going to give you specifically on how I work the 12 steps daily in my life. I go to a minimum of 2 meetings a week. And on Saturdays, if I'm in any of my towns, because I commute from Washington to Amelia Island, people know that I'm in my house from 10 to 2 on Saturday. And I wait. And people, male and female, will knock on the door. I bring them in. I take them through the steps. In 4 hours, I shove them out. And they're like, oh, my God. Right? And they're like, I've never seen this before. I had no idea this could exist. Okay, so I go to a meeting, a minimum of 2 meetings, and I sponsor 1 person. That's good for me. And then AA service work, I have a home group, Charlottesville, Virginia. I have a sponsor, and I used to be very active. We call it inner group. David, you call it district here? I spent many years in inner group. How do you work the steps daily in your life, the 12 steps? You have a package in front of you. When I go to bed last night, I filled out the 10th and 11th step questions. Was I resentful? Was I dishonest? Do I an apology? Bop, 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 bop. I wrote those out. If I was resentful, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to fill out a resentment 4-step form. If I was fearful, I'll fill out a fear 4-step form. I was fearful September of 2009. I was getting all these weird feelings. My son, who I've talked to 3 times a day since I was sober, went away to Florida State. He's a grown up. I had this longing to call him, but I just, you know, I'm in an area I don't know how to act. He's an adult. You know, and to him it's just like, hey, we're Florida State. To me, I'm like, right? So I had a lot of fear, and I wrote about it, and I saw it, and I talked to him about it. He goes, oh my God, do you really think that much? Just call me. I was like, oh, okay. You know, well, we got to outthink this one. He's like, just call me, okay? So I fill out the 10-step form. I get to my knees. I could stand on my head. It's a Catholic thing. I get to my knees. I thank God for keeping me sober for that day. I go to bed. I sleep like a baby. I wake up in the morning. I do the 11th step. My wife and I, we have a meditation room. She's got a beautiful Italian accent, so I let her read her meditation book, which is from Al-Anon. I read, I believe in science of the mind. It's like a Buddhist type of religion, if you will. And then I read the 24-hour book. I set my alarm on this watch here for 20 minutes. We go in contemplation. We get out. We talk about it. We're off. That's how I do the 12 steps. If I owe somebody amends, guess what I'm doing? I'm calling them up. If I have fear, I write about it. I do this in less than 3 minutes. And it keeps me clear.
That's specific. We're going to get more specific on how to do that. Two meetings, and I bring one person through the step. I have a home group, and I do a lot of work for intergroup. I used to, and I'm going to get back to it. That's simple. You do that every week, you're going to be safe and protected by the spirit of the universe. Make sense? Bill Wilson didn't make that up. Has anybody ever heard of mind, body, soul? It's the Buddhists made up the circle and the triangle. We just kind of stole it. Okay? It used to be in the front of your books, but it's no longer there. Somebody started making pillowcases out of it. So either we had to sue them, but we have no outside issues. So we let it go. Okay? That's why we don't have it in the book anymore. Make sense? This is how I stay sober, and this is how I monitor myself. This is how I monitor my sponsees. Good? People are sitting there like, is this guy for real? She's giving me the slow down, slow down, slow down. All right, I want everybody to go to the table of contents. Table of contents. I love when people say to me, hey, where are the steps? Really? Let me show you. Table of contents. I want you to box in from the preface to chapter 3. The preface to chapter 3. So today, when I talk about boxing something in, I just want you to go like this. Okay? From the preface to chapter 3. All right. Anyway, from the preface to chapter 3, box that in. That's step 1. You have 30 Roman numeral pages. You have 32 numbered pages. Almost 62 pages. Right? To do the first step. How important is the first step? Out of 164 pages, they're giving you almost 62 of them for the first step. Okay? So when I bring you through the book today, through step 1, you'll see how important it is and what kind of questions to ask. They're all in the book. That's all I want to do. Go ahead. We're going to write questions down. We have a question here. Oh, right through step 3. Yeah, preface to 3. Yeah. But if anybody wants a question, just pass this around. Good? So you have the preface, and then you have chapter 3. Go like that. Okay? Yeah. We're going back to blue. I want to use that red. Good? We good? All right. Now, I want you to take 4. Just 4. That's step 2. So, this is step 1. This is step 2. See that? Then I want you to go 5 through 7. This is steps 3 through 11. Nope, 3 through 12, excuse me. That's 3 through 12. Chapters 5 through 7, steps 3 through 12. So when we get chapters 5, 6, and 7, I'm telling you what, I'm going to rock you into the fourth dimension of existence. It's going to go really fast. And if you ladies in the front row that are from the south, even southerner here, I'm telling you what, thank you. We're going to go fast, okay? Steps 3 through 12, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Then I want you to box in 8 through 11. 8 through 11. Like that. And write this. Practicing all these principles. Practicing the principles in all your affairs. Talks about the employer. Talks about to the wife. Talks about to the family afterwards. But what do? We skim over them. We just skim over them. Right? We skim over them. That's how to work your life. That's how to deal with an alcoholic. Okay? We got it? We good? Now, I want you to turn to the preface. I want you to turn to the preface. Now, when I talk about paragraphs, I'm going to say, turn to page 3, paragraph 2. If it's not an indentation, don't count it as a paragraph. It's a continuation. Make sense? All right. So I want you to turn to the preface. I want you to go to the second paragraph. Check this out. Because this book has become the basic text, circle that, for our society, it has helped such a large number of alcoholic men and women to recovery, there exists a sentiment of any radical changes. It's a basic text. What's a textbook? Right, but don't you need to be taught a textbook? If I gave you my, I'm an aerospace engineer by education. If I gave you my advanced physics book, would you just open it up and be like, how about if I give you a 737 flight manual? Say, why don't you read this and come back and tell me what it says? And then I put you in a 737 and I say, come on, let's spark it up and go to LA. You'd be like, what are you, nuts? Right? It was like when I was in rehab and this guy said, take this book and read it. Because I asked him to be my sponsor. And he said, okay. And I read it. I was in a padded room. I had nothing else to do. And I read the whole thing. And he came back the next day. And I said, well, the book was written very poorly. And that guy Bill's a loser. He goes, read it again. Okay. I read it again. I said, I still don't understand it. Bill's still a loser. And the book's still written poorly. Do you know what he was saying to me? He was saying to me, I don't know the book. Why don't you tell me? I don't give you a book and tell you to read it. I read it to you. I bring you through it. I even write your 4-step for you. Just like Ebby did with Bill in the hospital. Okay? I write the 4-step right there and then. Because, you know, out of the 21 pages that I did on my 4-step, I remember the thing that happened in Knoxville, Tennessee in 1985. Okay? We got that? It's a textbook. It needs to be taught. I want you to turn to the next page. I want you to go to the second paragraph. It says, all changes made over the years in the big book. That's how we got the name Big Book. Underline Big Book. Okay? We got it because there were two things that were happening back then. Number one, we were broke. Number two, Bill Wilson got two discounts. One was on the color. If you notice the first cover, it's red and yellow. And if you notice, the pages were very thick with the paper, and the book was big. If you go to Akron, Ohio, apparently the book is like this big. So they call it the big book. And they would only have one book because it was $3.25. Today it would be like $65. And they would share that book. And so that's how they came up with the big book. Interesting, probably useless information, but it's just, you know. Like Cliffy in Boston. Cheers. Hey, Cliffy. I want you to go forward to the first edition. First paragraph. It states, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have... Let it be known that the 900 people said recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind. When they talk about the mind, folks, in the big book, they're talking about the mind obsession. Has anybody ever had that? I'm not going to drink. 1 o'clock. I may have one cocktail. 4 o'clock. Is it happy hour yet? The mind obsession. Okay? The mind obsession in the body. The body craving. Once we put it in, you're hosed. Don't even stop. People call me up drunk. Oh, I think I'm going to stop. I'm like, finish it. Call me in the morning. Okay? To show other alcoholics, what's that word? Precisely. Exactly how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. So if that's the main purpose, why aren't we screaming this at the hilltops? If it's the main purpose of this book, why are we not screaming this at the hilltops? All right, let me show you what a doctor from South Miami Hospital showed me. He showed me this. This thing is going to come tumbling down. I'll sue the city of Louisiana and we'll all be fine. Or the state. Watch this. This nice doctor from, he was talking about mind-body, right? Mind obsession, the body craving, okay? And he says, my wife now, when she drinks alcohol, it's in a 4-step process. Now, please, if you're a doctor, bear with me for the names, he used simple language. Came in as alcohol to my wife. It turns into a formaldehyde type substance in your body. And you get this, woo, it's poison. So the non-alcoholic poison's mind says, time to stop. And these are people, you may have seen them around, they leave like a half a glass of wine, have two drinks. Okay? Comes in his alcohol, turns it from formaldehyde. She's like, ooh. She goes, Douglasa. David was here at her ex. She calls me Douglasa. Douglasa, I'm drunk, sir. So she gets drunk, sir. Right? Turns to barley and hops, goes to H2O, and she wakes up without a hangover. Because she stopped. Right? Not with us. How many people have heard, you have crossed the line? I remember that line. Boy, I could see like nowadays, if it doesn't have a ticker tape going along the bottom of the TV, I don't watch it. I'm a total Wall Street guy. But I happened to be watching a game, and they got this like yellow line now on TV for football, and it kind of moves. I was like, that's the line, you know, always trying to cross it, right? One time that line stopped, and I crossed it, and I could not get back. What happens is, when we drink, it comes in as formaldehyde, it comes in as alcohol, it turns to formaldehyde, and what happens with the alcoholic mind? We're like, woo, yeah, let's kick it up a notch. That's not poison, that's sweet vermouth. What happens is, we start forming a codeine-like substance in our mind. And that's where we get the more, and as it states in the big book, it's virtually impossible to stop. We are restless, irritable, and discontent until at once, followed by a sense of ease, which brings by a drink. Follow me? Does that make sense? Then it comes here. When I saw that, every flicker of hope that I would ever have another drink again was vanished. It didn't mean I wasn't going to do it again. It just happened that I have not. Because I was planning 2 years out, baby. I was going to get all my licenses back. I was going to be back flying airplanes, and I was going to start drinking under the covers in a hotel room. No one's going to see me. I had a plan. It was a beautiful life. No telephones, no shades, no friends. They were all bothersome anyway. Okay? Alcohol, formaldehyde, codeine, barley and hops, H2O. That is what we have. Okay, that's the phenomenon of craving they're talking about. If you don't have that, you are not an alcoholic. People are like, well, then why are you telling us that? How do you know? Because that is the phenomenon of craving, and I don't want people who are hard drinkers in our organization. Because people like me who need a spiritual awakening will go up to this guy who sounds good, Uncle Fanny, and say, sponsor me. And he says, hey, laddie, slow down on the steps. Relax. And then I go out and I drink. And I come back and I'm like, Uncle Fanny, what happened? You're trying to work this too hard. Relax. And I drink again. And I drink again. And I put a bullet in my head. I've seen that too many times. I don't want hard drinkers in here. I don't want them. I want real alcoholics like us who have to go through these steps. It's life and death. Okay? Codeine, without crossing that line, into the phenomenon of craving, once you start drinking, it's virtually impossible to stop, then you're a hard drinker, as defined on page 21, and we're going to go through that. Okay? So let's turn to the next page. At the top of the page, it says the only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop drinking. Folks, how many people, and this is where we took a downturn, it started in the late 40s, early 50s, when the judges started sending people into Alcoholics Anonymous. Hey, listen, you got a DWI. The guy's 65 years old. He's been married to his wife for 40 years. She just died. He was drinking too much. He's not an alcoholic. Just lost his wife. And he comes in front of the judge, and the judge says, go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And here Uncle Sam comes walking in Alcoholics Anonymous, and he sees us, beautiful,
happy people. And he says, I want to stay here. And he starts talking the talk and walking the walk. And then I go up to Uncle Sam, and he says, take your time working the steps. Do you see what I mean? That's what happened. He didn't have an honest desire to stop drinking. He was just hurting. That's the way some non-alcoholics feel. They drink, and then they stop or moderate. Stop or moderate? Could anybody in here stop or moderate? Give me a break. It ain't happening in my world. I don't know about your world. All right? So that's when we saw a downturn of our sobriety rate in Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, I want you to turn to the forward to the second edition. Forward to the second edition. Reach the first paragraph, three sentences down. It says that every alcoholic who journeys will find the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous at their destination. All right, let's get a couple things very clear here. And this is where things start getting skewed in Alcoholics Anonymous. You have something called the fellowship. Fellowship. And then you have something called the program. Okay? You have the fellowship and you have the program of recovery. The fellowship are the meetings. The program is the 12 steps. Let's not get that confused. People think the fellowship now of Alcoholics Anonymous is the program of recovery, and it's not. The fellowship is not the program of recovery. Don't drink, go to meetings, does not work. I haven't seen it work. And if it does, oh my God. The dry drunkenness, I mean, just light a match by the person, they'll go poof. Okay? Do you know why I go to meetings? So I can find people like you. I don't have to go to hospitals anymore. I don't have to go to institutions. I don't have to go to jails. I'll just go to a meeting. First person to raise his hand is his first meeting. And I'm in town. Everybody in the meeting knows. They look at me. He's mine. He's fresh meat. And I'm going to. And everyone's like, well, you're going to scare him away. Well, then he's not ready. When I talk to families, I say this to them. I promise you, no, I swear to you, your son or daughter will find serenity and peace. And they're like, oh, you see their face just light up. One of two ways. They will work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, or they will die. Either way, they are going to find a peace and serenity. And they're looking at me like, where's the good news? There's no losing here. In my spiritual belief, there's no losing. Either you die, which is, in my belief, pretty awesome, right? Or you're going to work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and have this life I had for the last almost 15 years, if I make it that long, which is totally awesome, okay? So we have the fellowship, which is the meetings, and the program, which is the 12 steps. Today, I'm teaching you the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, as designed by the first 100 people that wrote this book. We good? All right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the next page. I want you to turn to the next page. For me, I have XVI, and I'm not sure what it is in your book. Okay? But if you go down to the first paragraph, it says, prior to his journey, his he's talking about is Bill Wilson. Prior to his journey to Akron, the broker worked hard with many alcoholics on the theory that only an alcoholic can help an alcoholic. That's working with others, WWO, right? WWO, working with others. Wait till you see how many times it talks about working with others in the big book. It talks about permanent sobriety twice in the big book, after working with others. I want you to go about four sentences down in that same paragraph. It says, he, Bill Wilson, suddenly realized that in order to save himself, this is life and death, in order to save himself, he must carry his message to another alcoholic. They were just telling you the story where he's in the Mayflower Hotel in Ohio. The Firestone deal just went down. He was broke, and he was going towards the bar. And he knew in order to save his life, he had to help somebody out. He called up all those directories, found Henrietta Sibberling. She introduced him to Dr. Bob, bada-ba-bing, bada-boom, as we say in New York City. And here we are today. Forget about it. Okay? It's all about working with others. If you have worked the 12 steps and you don't have a sponsor or a sponsee because you're afraid you're going to kill them, I'm going to tell you what my sponsor told me. You're not that powerful. And so we're here today so that you're feeling comfortable taking people through the steps out of the book. All you're doing is taking what you're highlighting and you're transferring it to somebody else. And then you're going to get your own story going. And then you're going to get your own jig going on. And you're going to start, like, you know, 12-step factory at your house. You're going to be taking them through. Okay? Stay on that page. I want you to go to the second paragraph on that page. It says, this physician, the physician they're talking about is Dr. Bob. This physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to solve his alcoholic dilemma, but had circle failed. Don't drink, go to church does not work. Why? You're getting the spiritual thing. You're getting, hell, I was an atheist, and I used to go to the Episcopal church and cook at 6 o'clock in the morning until they took the knives away from me because I came in drunk, and they wouldn't let me cook with them anymore. What Dr. Bob was not doing was he was not fessing up with his most embarrassing stuff in a fist step. He wasn't going out and making restitution. He wasn't doing any of that. See, our birthday should really be the first week of May, right? Mother's Day? But why is it not? Dr. Bob did not want to do the ninth step. He went out and drank in Atlantic City. They sent him back to Ohio. And on June 10th was the last time he drank because he went out and made amends to everybody. Okay? I've seen that time and time and time and time and time again. All right. I want you to go to the bottom of that page that we were just at, last sentence, and this is huge, folks. Get ready for this. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, getting on an airplane, flying down here to spend the weekend with you after I just flew all over the country, strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, I just happened to be with 900, was vital to partial recovery. Oh, wait a second. Wait. Permanent recovery. Oh, my God. Can you believe we're talking about permanent forever recovery? It talks about it in the big book. We're not even out of the Roman numerals. It is vital to permanent recovery. Vital. I could call up my wife now. I left the meeting. There's this guy that's dying. Because he just told me, this happened 2 weeks ago, he just told me, his sponsor told him that he's got a four-step written, his sponsor told him to take his time. I was like, you know, twitching, and everyone looked at me like, all the heads look at me, and I grabbed them. I said, how bad do you want this? I said, come down the street with me to my office, and we're going to finish the rest of the steps. Changed his life. He still hasn't drinking to this day. Just got out of jail. He wanted this worse than anything, and he got an Uncle Sam and Uncle Franny who said, take your time. Almost, why did they just give him a freaking revolver and put it in his head? He's still sober to this day, which is huge for him, okay? That's how important this stuff is, folks. Permanent sobriety. I want you to go down to, on that page we just read that. It says on the third paragraph, I'm on page XVII. It says, it was now time the struggling group thought to place their message. What message are we talking about? The 12 steps. Their message. Do you know why they wrote the big book? You can see letters written back and forth from New York to Akron, Ohio. And it's because they didn't want what happened now. They didn't want the message to get watered down. But we human beings did a bang-up job on that one, didn't we? We watered it right down. We took care of it. We watered it down. It's all over. They were begging for that not to happen. That's why they did this message. Okay? They say that the flying blind period has ended. I think we got back into it. I want you to turn to the next page. And I want you to go to the top of the page. You'll see that paragraph there, the last sentence from the top of the page, the last sentence in that continuating paragraph. It says here, by the end of 1939, it was estimated that 800 alcoholics are sober. You ready? As an aerospace engineer, I love doing numbers. Check this out. Ready? From June 1935 to April 1939, when the big book came out, how long is that? Let's say 4 years. 4.0 years.
100 people got sober.
Right? Now it says here by the end of 1939, so the big book comes out in April. So from April 1939 to December 1939, how long is that? 7 months? How many people got sober? 4 years by word of mouth, 100. 7 months when the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous came out, 800. What does that tell you about the big book? I could just close the book right now and walk home. But then he wouldn't feed me more gumbo tonight and it would just be a mess. 800 people got sober. I'm not done. I want you to go to the first paragraph on that page. I want you to go down about 7 sentences. And it states here, by March 1941, the membership went to how many? 2,000. So from December 1939 to March 1941, which is how long? About a year and 4 months? People got sober. Look at these numbers. 4 years, 100. 7 months, 800. 2,000 after a year and 4 months. What does that tell you about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous? So why are we not screaming this at every meeting? Why are we not talking about this at every meeting? Why are we not grabbing newcomers and bringing them over our house? No one ever answers that question when I ask. No one ever answers that question. This is what we need to be doing. And it will keep you sober. And it will keep them sober. And our sobriety rate will start going up. But it's people like, I just spoke in Dublin, Ireland. You want to hear some crazy SH? You want to hear some crazy stuff? In Dublin, Ireland, I'm looking at a young kid back there, and I'm not sure if he's, sir, are you above 18? You're probably above 18, right? Okay. Do you know Intergroup in Dublin, Ireland just wrote a law that 18-year-olds can't go into AA? Do you know they also wrote, I'm working with GSO on this. Do you know they wrote a law that there's no more big book studies? But you know what they do? There's about 300 people. One guy came over to America. He heard a couple of us speakers speak about this. He went through the steps with us. He went back. And one by one, he's bringing people. There's 300 people that are on fire with a spiritual experience. You can never beat a spiritual experience, ever. So he's flying people like me out there, like Chris S. out there, like Peter M. out there, to tell them about the big book. And they're getting bigger and more powerful and bigger. And Bill Wilson hit it right. Don't worry about it. God will take care of everything. Right? Because the people who have dark tunnel AA who are afraid of you because you're here now, think about this. Here comes this little short New York attitude guy walking into a room who gets a spiritual awakening after 9 months. I was obnoxious. I'll admit that to you. I was in your face. I know why you failed. You didn't work the steps. Right? And then I go to my sponsor. How come no one wants me to sponsor them? He's like, because you're an asshole. And as spirituality kicked in with me, I calmed down a lot. I'm more quiet. I'm slower. My girlfriend here, she's like. And so, if I go up to a 20, 30-year sober man, I'm speaking these words of the original message of Alcoholics Anonymous. He has no idea what I'm saying. What is he thinking? Well, what the hell have I been doing for 30 years? So what am I going to do? What is he going to do? He's going to start berating me. He's going to start putting me down. He's going to start calling me a big book Nazi. He's going to start calling me a big book thumper. Like it's a bad thing? The Nazi part I don't like, but is it a bad thing? Do you see what I mean? Get over yourself. All right. What I want you to do is I want you to turn to the last page of the forward. It's I call it, in mine it's XX. On the fourth edition, what is it? Let me just look real. Okay, XX. Actually, yes, go to page XX. So we're equal here. Go to page XX. I want you to start at the top of the page, count down 5 paragraphs. or five sentences, excuse me. Check this out. You want more numbers? I'm going to give you more numbers. This is where I come up with the numbers. Folks, I don't make this stuff up. Well, maybe some of it, but not a lot of it. Of Alcoholics Anonymous who came into AA, 50% got sober at once. Very good. Meaning work the steps, go to meetings, sponsor others. That was their definition of really tried. Is that you that said it? Or I'm just pointing at you and you're like, why is he pointing at me? You're absolutely right. They really tried. He said, sobered up and remained that way. 25% came in after a relapse or two. 75% sobered up that really tried. Went to meetings, worked with others, worked the steps, prayed and meditated. It's not in that order. I'll tell you the order that they thought was very important. Okay? 75%. You know where we're at now, folks? Last study by GSO was 8 to 13%. That's sinful. Why? Watered down. Yeah. You're absolutely right. They got watered down. They're doing a lot of discussion meetings. The sponsorship has just went, whoo. It has just dropped. They got away from God. When people say, don't drink, go to meetings in a meeting, instead of me standing up and just like screaming and yelling at them, like I used to when I had like 9 months sobriety, I got my spirits awakened, I wake up and I raise my hand. I said, you know, I have to agree with Jim. I have to agree with Jim. By working the 12 steps, by helping other people work the 12 steps, by getting a home group, and by not drinking and going to meetings, your chances of drinking are very, very, very slim. Do you see what I just did? I agreed with Jim. So Jim's like, hey, Doug agrees with me. And I'm like saying, Jim, really, I'm politically correct. You're an idiot. But I let Jim talk, and then I throw in what they really meant. Work the 12 steps, get a spiritual awakening, find God, help others work the 12 steps, and find God. Get a home group, do a lot of service work, then go to meetings if you have time. Got it? Does that make sense to everybody? All right, good. How am I doing on time, Mr. Engineer? 15, very good. Let's go to forward to the third edition. Forward to the third edition. Last paragraph, three sentences down. It says, each day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins. When one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. That's where that came in from. Everything we'll talk about today, like those things that you see on the board, all those think, drink, drink, or don't drink, or whatever. There's a few of them that are in the book, believe it or not. Okay? I want you to go to the doctor's opinion. The doctor's opinion. It's on page XXV in the fourth edition. If you go down to 1, 2, 3, the fourth paragraph, it says here, in the course of his third treatment, that's Bill Wilson, he had some certain ideas. Those were the steps in working with others. Concerning a possible means of recovery as part of his rehabilitation. So as part of your alcoholic rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conception to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they circle the word must. There's 82 times the word must is in the big book. So if people say, well, you must not do anything, it's a lie. It's a must. They must do likewise with others. You must do likewise with others. Working with others. WWO. All right? That's part of your rehabilitation. That's what he found out in recovery. Turn to the next page. At the top of the page, first sentence, it says, these men may well have a remedy. What happens if you have a remedy? You have a solution to something. These men may have a remedy for thousands of such situations. You may rely absolutely on anything they say. Dr. Silkworth. This is a doctor who was an outcast from the medical profession. They thought he was crazy. He is the guy who came up with the allergic reaction. The five-step process, as we just talked about, comes in as alcohol, formaldehyde, codeine, barley and hops, water. He's the guy who came up with that. Okay. Everybody thought we were just weak. They had no idea that we had an allergy, which finally came in the 1950s. from the American Medical Association. All right? So I want you to go on page XXVI in the fourth edition. I want you to go down one to the second paragraph. It says, the doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us. And that is that five-step process that we were just talking about. And that's on page XXVI on the fourth edition. If you go down on XXVI, same page, go down to the third paragraph, it says, though we of Alcoholics Anonymous work out our solution, which is an answer, on the spiritual as well as the altruistic plane. So we have a solution to alcoholism, right? It's a two-step process. It's spiritual and it's altruistic, right? Spiritual and altruistic. Whoa, that's going to be a good one. I'll just put alt. Spiritual is the 12 steps, okay? That's the solution. That's the answer, the 12 steps. Altruistic just means doing good for others without expecting anything in return. I expect nothing from you except good gumbo this evening. That's it. And I had it last night, and I'll have it this evening, and I'll eat it tomorrow morning. Yes, indeedy. All right? So that's the solution, spiritual and altruistic. 12 steps working with others without expecting anything in return. We good at that? If you go to the next page in the fourth edition, it's XXVII. First paragraph, it says, the subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholism. Think about that. A doctor, an MD, saying that the words in this book are of paramount importance. Do you know Dr. Bob had about a 2%, not Dr. Bob, excuse me, Dr. Silkworth had about a, and he ran Towns Hospital in New York where Bill went 3 times. There's some debate whether Bill was there 3 times or 4 times. But anyway, he had a 2% sobriety rate. He sees these alcoholics coming in like, hey, come with me. I'm going to bring you through these. And they had 6 steps back then. I'll bring you through these steps, and we'll go to the Oxford group. And he's watching all these guys who he had written off as dead men walking, getting sober. And he's like, how are you doing that? Spiritual, 12 steps, altruistics. When you don't drink and go to meetings, you get rid of that, you get rid of that, and you go out and drink. And you go out and drink. And you go out and drink. And finally you think you're a loser. You finally think you're a loser, and you put a bullet in your head. The good news is, if you're a chronic relapser here right now and you've never worked the steps, you've never worked the solution. That's the good news. The bad news is you've never worked the steps and you never worked the solution. As I get chronic relapsers in my office, I say to them, I got this huge whiteboard in my office, like 3 times the size of this. And you can imagine me one-on-one with somebody. They're like, you know, like in their face. Tell it to me! I forgot what I was going to say, but it was pretty good. Anyway, chronic relapsers, yeah. So anyway, I'll bring the chronic relapsers through this, and I'll say to them, listen, I'll go like this. Let me show you. And it comes clear. I'll say, okay, are you excited about being here? And they're like, no, you made me come here. Shut up. And so then I'll say, okay, here we go. When did you come in? I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1995. All right, and I advise you to do this. Did you work the steps into the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous? No. Right? Did you sponsor people out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous? No. Did you go to meetings? Yes. Okay, what happened?
Well, in 1996, I went back out.
Okay. So, you went back out in 96. When you came back in 1996, did you work the steps of the Big Book? No. Did you sponsor people out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous? No. Did you go to meetings? Yes. Good. What happened?
Well, I stayed sober till 1998.
Okay, 1998, you went back out, you came back in. And we go, and we do this, and we do this, and we do this, and we do this, and then I go like this. I thought meeting makers make it. And this, ding, I mean, like they light up my office. This light goes off. And you hear some say, those sons of bitches. They lied to me. Don't drink, go to meetings. Don't drink, go to meetings. That's what it'll get you.
It'll get you a lot more years. So this is what I did. I say to him, I came in 1995. I worked the steps of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. I sponsor out of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. I go to meetings. Yes, yes, yes. 2010, I'm still sober. Yeah. And you know, to this day, that still chills up my spine. Because I was a low bottom drunk. I still don't remember January 95, but if anyone could find it for me, please tell me about it. Okay? And, excuse me. I want you to be on that page where it says XXVII. And in the fourth edition, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth paragraph. Many years ago, one of the leading contributors came to this, contributors to this book came under our care, that's Bill Wilson, in this hospital. And while here, he acquired some simple ideas, that's the steps, which he put into practical experience in 1 year. Oh, wait, what does that say? At once. I wanted to read this before I got off, because I just got the 10-minute sign. I got 5 minutes? Fine. There's time frames in here. At once, immediately, next, launched. You're going to hear time frames. They believed, thank God Bill Wilson didn't wait more than 6 days to start bringing people through the steps. 6 days he was sober. He's going into other people's rooms like, hey, man, you want to hear about what I got? Right? 6 days. Can you imagine speaking at a meeting in 6 days? I tell my sponsees, when I bring them through this work and they're brand new and they're not even a month sober or 2 weeks sober, I grab somebody. I'm like, just show them the highlighted areas in here. That's all I want you to do. Just show them the highlighted areas. And then they go in a meeting and they raise their hand and like, oh, my God, I've never felt like this in my life. This is the most unbelievable thing. I just brought this guy through the steps. And the whole meeting will be about him, how he has 3 weeks and he brought people through the steps and how he's only on a pink cloud. And they belittle him. God knows if I don't go into that meeting with a resentment. But then I pray and I meditate and I go in and I just explain it to people. Because you got these 20 and 30 year guys who have never done this. So why is this 3 week guy all happy? Let's put him down. Okay? We got to stop that, folks. We really do. It's called the God consciousness. Fine? Okay. I want you to turn to the next page. It says XXVIII in the fourth edition. This is what they mean about powerlessness. I want you to go to the first paragraph. I want you to go to the first paragraph. It says, we believe and suggest a few years ago that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy. That the phenomenon of craving, that's the deal. The phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperature drinker. Never occurs in my wife, ever. The phenomenon of craving. If you start drinking and you find it virtually impossible for you to stop without feeling restless, irritable, and discontent, welcome to our gang. And I'll show you the handshake later, but right now we got work to do. So, what are they talking about? Well, it says here they're talking about the phenomenon of craving and powerlessness. That is the powerlessness they're talking about in step one. If I hear one time today that you are powerless over people, places, and things, I'm going to cut you at the knees. Stop giving your power away. You have a God now that is all powerful that we could tap into. You are not powerless over people, places, and things. Do circumstances happen? Hell yeah, it does. But you're not powerless over. If I don't like what someone's doing to me, I'm out. If I don't like the place I live, I move. I live in Amelia Island for the last 5 years. I moved back because my ex-wife did not want to stop being a flight attendant. I said, fine. But our kids are not going to have nannies anymore. I left the house that I love. I kept it. Charlottesville, Virginia, and I moved, bought a house on Amelia Island, and took my kids through high school. Changed their lives. I was with them full time. And they're all doing phenomenal. It's something that I desire to do. But do I hate it? Yes. And I got 4 months and 6 days left. And for 5 years, I've been marking it off. But it was for them. There's responsibilities that we got to take. I took it. I stepped up. It worked. I'm done. 4 months, 6 days. Things, I had one of those new cell phones these young kids back there probably got. I took that son of a bitch. And I threw it out the window. And I was serene. Right? I'm not powerless over people, places, and things. Stop it. I have unlimited amounts of power. I'm going to teach you through prayer and meditation that economies of this scale never affected me. I made more money in 2009. I'll make more in 2010. And it's just the way it is. And I'm going to share that with you. Because it's just not about not drinking. It says in the big book, when it talks about yesterday on page 52, when it tells you how to tell your story, it says, leaving the drink problem aside, meaning don't even really talk about that, we start getting down to the causes and conditions, okay? Leaving the drink problem aside. All right, so I want you to go down on that page that we just read. That's one, the second paragraph says, frothy emotional appeal seldom survives. When my kids used to come up and say, Daddy, you promised you were going to go out with me. Or your girlfriend saying, man, you said you were going to take me out tonight. But what happened? Well, let me just have this one little drink. Gook! Right? And what happens? The disease kicks in, and you're done. There's no playing ball. There's no going out. There may be going out, but now you're a sloppy drunk, and you're... I own one of the largest nightclubs and restaurants in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I started it many years ago, and it's almost over now, 9 years. And I don't stay past 10 o'clock because I just don't like drunks. But I love employing 82 people. I love being the only restaurant in the whole area that gives medical benefits. I love treating my people like gold. I have less than a 3% turnover rate. Why? They don't know it, but I'm AA-ing them all day. I can't tell you how many cooks I've sobered up. Or helped sober up, okay? All right, we're going to be done with the doctor's opinion here. If you go to the third paragraph, about 10 sentences down, it says, we feel after many years of experience, that's the doctor talking, that we have found nothing which has contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement, doing good for others without expecting anything in return. Nothing. They have seen nothing better than helping another alcoholic to stay sober. So let's do it together. Let's take a break.